You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, March 8th. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell continues the series, Markers. The message focuses on Exodus chapter 7, verses 8 through 13, and is entitled, A Staff to Invite.
God gives us glimpses of His grand plan to keep us moving along our journey. God gives us glimpses of His grand plan to keep us moving along God's journey of faith. This week we're continuing a series of messages through the book of Exodus where we're looking at six markers, six items, six things that show up in the book of Exodus that serve for us to be reminders that God is with us and that God is leading us in faith to these new places, to promised lands, to our future. Now, the Israelites, God's people, they were moving into a new life as well. They were moving into a new paradigm for living with God. And it's a journey of faith that I think some of us might know a little bit about. For them, it was a journey from captivity to a journey to a journey into freedom. For some of us, it might be a life that is free from worry and one that is moving into a life of trust. A life maybe that is held captive by something or another into a life of freedom. And while we're in that in-between time, we need reminders that keep us going, that keep us knowing that God is with us. Now, whenever we take these steps of going from one stage of life to another, from captivity to freedom, from worry to trust, it requires more than a little bit of faith. Using what we know to be true, using what we have heard and what we have learned to lead us into this new paradigm, this new way of living, and trusting that God will be with us. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn in your copy of Scripture or look at the screen to my left and right to Exodus 7. We're going to be looking at Exodus 7, beginning at verse 8. And when I'm done reading this morning, I'll say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you believe that to be true in your heart, you can respond by saying, thanks be to God. Listen carefully this morning. We're reading God's holy word. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. Let's pray. Lord, let the good news come now, not only in word, but also in power and with great assurance. And I pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit that you would come so that these words would not just be words on a page. They would not just be words spoken, but they would become your word. Let them breathe power and your trust into our lives that we might have faith to go where you lead. For we pray not in our own power, but we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. This morning's marker is a staff. a staff to invite. Now, the staff that Moses uses, it's just a plain old staff. It's just a piece of wood that he would use for walking or maybe for guiding sheep. It's a walking stick, essentially, is what it is. Now, this week I paid a pastoral visit to one of the members of our congregation who is also a lover of large dogs. We have a 120-pound Great Pyrenees named Sam. And so I was going to invite Sam, or I was going to introduce Sam to Max, the chocolate lab. Now, as we were about to take our dogs out on a walk through the woods, this person, there's no secret, it's Lindy Griffith. She's a member of our choir. She's still seated in it. Where are you, Lindy? There you are, right in the corner. Great, great meeting between two wonderful dogs this week. Max is a sweet, sweet, sweet guy. She asked me if I wanted a walking stick for the journey as we were heading out, and I accepted, and as we were starting to walk out, she said, "You're going to need this because there are some hills that we're going to climb, and it gets pretty slippery. This will help you kind of keep your footing. It'll help you steady as you go." Now, little did she know that I'm from Minnesota, and we've got lots of ice in Minnesota, and so ice is, you know, I got pretty sure feet, but I will say that the walking stick did come in handy because that ice was not always level. Now, there's nothing unique about this stick. There was nothing unique about this walking stick, but as I soon found out, it is actually really helpful when you're climbing up icy hills. And it's also helpful for corralling wayward dogs back onto the path of righteousness. Now, for the two men in our story this morning, Moses and for Pharaoh, the staff has two very different meanings. Last week we read that Moses led the Egypt or left Egypt for 40 years. And while he was gone, Moses was humbled in his exile, but he was humbled for a purpose. While he's gone, Moses has an encounter with God at the burning bush. And Moses is told the great thing that God is going to do through Moses for his people, the Israelites. But Moses doesn't believe it. Moses says, "Send someone else. I'm slow of speech. I'm not very eloquent. Send somebody else." Moses is a reluctant leader. It's a little different from the Charlton Heston version or the in our modern day today, the Batman version of a Moses that we have in Christian Bale. But Moses is constantly second-guessing himself. That's one of the things that I wish was better about this new iteration of the story of Moses. Moses is always second-guessing himself. But not Pharaoh. Pharaoh lacks no confidence. He lacks none of that gravitas. And that's where we see these two men parting ways over the presence of a staff. See, there's a condition in the Old Testament, there's a condition in our day today that is even more dangerous than any of the plagues that would come to Egypt, and it's the condition of hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is not just a condition that inflicts the Egyptians, but you'll see later on when the Israelites are taken from captivity that Israel experiences hardness of heart. The followers of Jesus, the disciples, as they're following Jesus, experience a sense of hardness of heart as well. And hardness of heart, I think if we were to boil it down to its basic definition, I think is this. I think it is a resistance to the positive influence of God in our lives. Hardness of heart is related to doubt in a way, but it's something unique. It is a resistance to the positive influence of God in our lives. And I want to show you what I mean by this. Throughout the Exodus story, the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened 10 times, and 10 times it says that Pharaoh is the one who does it. Now, looking closely at our text this morning, we see Moses and Aaron going to Pharaoh and saying, "Let our people go. Release us." And Pharaoh says, "Oh yeah? Prove to me why I should let you go." God told Moses and Aaron in this instance, when Pharaoh does say, prove it, to cast down, to throw down your walking stick, throw down the staff. And before Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh, it becomes a serpent. Now I can imagine Pharaoh saying in this moment, wow, that's a great trick. That's pretty amazing. And then looking over to his court magicians and sorcerers and say, guys, you think you can do that? See, Pharaoh has his doubt. But it seems that that was all that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh has his court magicians show that in his eyes, this is just a parlor trick. And so it went with a number of the plagues that would be to come in the coming chapters. Pharaoh would say, wow, that was a cool trick you just did. But I don't know if it's enough for me to believe. I still need to know more if I am going to accept or if I'm going to believe. Unless I know more, I just can't believe. You see, I think Pharaoh is in love with his doubt. As long as there is a margin of doubt, as long as there is a little bit of unknowing, Pharaoh insists that he has to continue to seek truth until all doubt has been removed. As long as there's a sliver of mystery, Pharaoh continues to doubt. And did you see what Pharaoh is doing here? Pharaoh is turning his doubt into a god. He is worshiping not the true God, but he is worshiping his doubt. And I think we do this too. We say things like, unless I know more, I just can't believe. Or, I'll believe it if this happens. If this happens in my life, if this changes, if this person's healed, then I will believe. God, unless you do this thing for me, I just can't believe that you are there. And I definitely can't believe that you're good. How is it that we think that we could ever know more than an all-knowing God? If I knew everything that God knows, I would be God. Or God would be totally unworthy of our worship. He would be impotent. You see, I think doubt is a necessity when we worship the supreme God. There has to be some room for faith, some room for doubt in true faith. For us to come before God and say, and hear God say, I am who I am, even if you don't understand what that fully means. You see, the image and the role of this staff is not for Pharaoh to have more truth. The call or the image of the staff is to take what we know, to take what we have learned from God and begin our journey, to put it into action. This is Moses' response to the staff. This is the second image of the staff. What happens to Moses in these successive plagues is really pretty amazing. If you know the story, you remember that in the same way the staff, the same staff that he threw down and became a serpent was the same staff that was used to initiate each one of these plagues on Egypt. And scholars say that each successive plague, I read this week and I thought it was really interesting, really helpful, that each one of the plagues that came to Egypt was a way of deconstructing the gods of Egypt, saying to them, let me show you who God is. So for Moses, it's like having the curtains of reality open to him. All these things that we thought were gods, the fertility of the Nile River, our ability to raise and sustain ourselves with farm animals. You know, every time we think that we are in control, God shows us that is not who he is, that we are not God, but that God is God. And so Moses, when he sees these plagues, it's like reality is being unfolded before him. He's having the curtains of truth raised. And all the things that he thought were really important, that he had dedicated his life to meant nothing in comparison to the great God of the universe. You see, Moses and Pharaoh, I think, in a lot of ways, share many of the same doubts and the same misgivings. They have similar upbringings and educations. Moses chooses to go forward even though he has doubt. Pharaoh is stuck, sort of wallowing in it until definitive truth comes. But when Moses encounters God in the burning bush, learning that the name of God was going to go with him, that was all he needed to know in order to take that first step, to step out in faith. The staff is a common piece of equipment. Everybody had a walking stick. But the meaning behind it is that Moses is going somewhere. Are you going somewhere? The staff was there to keep Moses' feet steady, to keep him from slipping, but it was also a reminder, like the burning bush, of the one that was going with him on his journey. Back in the late 90s, there was a movie that came out called The Matrix. It's a science fiction movie about the future, and all human beings had been enslaved to this, what they perceived was reality, but was actually really just a computer program called The Matrix. And the story revolves around a man named Neo, and whether Neo is willing to be the liberator, to be the Moses character or the Jesus figure in the movie. And there's this moment where a character who plays the John the Baptist part, his name is Morpheus, is sitting with Neo in a room, and he holds out two hands and he says, "In my left hand is a blue pill. And if you take the blue pill, you will go back to the reality that you understood. You will go back to living within the Matrix and not and having that false reality in front of you. But if you take the red pill, if you take the red pill, you will go down the rabbit hole, and but you will go into reality. You will see things the way they really are. All I can promise you is truth." And just like the plagues in Egypt unraveling reality for Moses, now the Matrix comes crashing down on Neo, and he's able to see how things really are in the real world. But this isn't the point of the movie. Not just knowing is not the point of the movie. You see, there's this, the point is the calling that is placed on Neo. Is he going to be the one who would liberate the people from the Matrix? And the next scene is him going to the door. He needs to have a guide for the journey. He needs to have somebody who's going to lead him through this. And it's the character, a woman by the name of Oracle. And so this guy, Morpheus, the John the Baptist character, takes Neo to the apartment building where this woman, Oracle, lives. And there's this moment where they're standing in the hallway and Neo asks, "So does she know everything?" And Morpheus says, "She would say that she knows enough." And what? Is she never wrong? Try not to think of it in terms of right and wrong. Try to think of her as a guidepost. She can help you along your path. She can help you find the right path. And so when Neo does go to her, she doesn't give him words for him to know the right and wrong. She doesn't give him categories to define. What she gives him are words of promise. She gives him wisdom that will come back to him time and again along his journey. And in the end, it's this promise. It's these words of wisdom that will enable him to do his job, to liberate his people. And it seems to me that this is the role of the staff, of Moses' staff. What God is doing in his invitation to Moses and to us is to take up what we know is true about ourselves, to take the things that we know about ourselves and about God and to trust it enough, to trust God enough to take that next step, to take that step into what God is calling us to become. God is inviting us on a journey as a church, as individuals, a journey of faithfulness, a journey of being formed in the image of Christ, a journey that will require us to take some steps. We must move where God is inviting us, but the good news is that when we do so, the truth of what Christ is doing in the world will emerge. It'll break in and we will see clearly. You know, when Jesus performs miracles in the New Testament, giving the lame the ability to walk, giving sight back to the blind, he always asks the person to take the first step before the healing begins. And as that person takes that first step, they realize that they've been healed. To the lame man, he says, "Take up your mat and walk." And it's not until he picks up his mat and starts to walk that he realizes that he's healed. It's not until he says to the blind man, "Rub soil in your eyes, and then you'll be able to see." It's taking that first step. It's not to the lepers, he says, "Go and show yourself to the Pharisees, to the priests." And it's as they turn and go that they realize that they've been re-given their sight. It's when Jesus says, "Go." When we take that first step, that we begin to realize that we see where God is present, where God is healing, where God is working in our lives. It's Jesus who invites us to take the first step. Faith is not just about what's true, but it's also about what we do with it. So what's the next step for us? Is there an area of your life where you're being invited to the next step? In just a few minutes, we're going to take a moment after our offertory and after we affirm our faith together, that we're going to take a moment to just receive an invitation that if God is stirring in your life in some way, that if he's leading you to maybe make a confession of faith or to believe or to take that next step, that you can do it. And I want to invite us to do this as the ushers are coming forward to receive this morning's offering. Just in the quiet of this moment, to listen for that still small voice that's inviting you to take the next step. And if you do, I want to encourage you to share with one of our ushers or share with myself so that we can know how to encourage you. Because taking that first step or that next step is one that always requires faith. But the good news is that we don't do it alone. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.